This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. So this hour, we got a couple of different things. I feel bad about something I'm looking forward to. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I'm going to get to some emails. The horrors of living in a Democrat state. We have a motivation problem we'll discuss. All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I touched on this story a little bit yesterday, but just very briefly, because there's not much for you or I to discuss about it. New York City, as you know, elected a communist. Fairly open communist. If I have to give him credit for anything, it's not like he hides it. Most Democrats hide it, but he doesn't hide it. It's who he is. And there are enough foreigners brought into New York that made it so a man like Mamdani could get elected. Now he's elected. Mamdani promised all kinds of things leading up to his election. And one of those things, he even ran an ad on it, was free grocery stores or government-run grocery stores, I believe is how he put it. He didn't say free, I don't think. I think he said government-run. But that's always what they're selling. Hey, we're not going to price gouge you like those other grocery stores. Quick side note, economic note, grocery stores, even the big ones, run about an average of 2% profit. It's shockingly minuscule how much money grocery stores make. You really have to own a bunch of them to make any real money, but never mind, set that aside. He's going to have some government-run grocery stores. Brought it up yesterday. And I just have to bare my soul before we do some emails here in the second hour and talk about other things. I'm not proud about something I'm feeling right now.
New York City, it is time for a grand experiment once again. Just as LaGuardia used government to respond to the challenges of the Great Depression, we will use government to respond to rising prices and unaffordable groceries. The city will subsidize a core set of staples. A private operator will run the store, but they answer to the standards that the city will set. These standards include requirements that at our stores, bread will be cheaper. Eggs will be cheaper. Grocery shopping will no longer be an unsolvable equation. And workers will be treated with dignity.
Okay. Have you ever seen Old Yeller, the movie? Chris, it's just criminal that you've never seen Old Yeller. I just can't believe. Yeah, I know you know what happens. That's not the point. It's still a great movie about values. Never mind. Well, look, you've had probably, I don't know how old the movie is. I know you've had half a century probably to watch it. So I'm going to go ahead and give you a little spoiler. It's about this wonderful dog, this wonderful family. They get this dog, Yeller. And he's always out there protecting the family. It's just a great story about a relationship with the family and the dog. And the dog ends up protecting, once again, the family, getting in a fight with a wolf. But the wolf had rabies. Old Yeller obviously takes some wounds in fighting with a wolf. That's generally a pretty dangerous thing. So they have to lock Old Yeller up in this little shed outside and just kind of monitor the situation, if you will, for a while. Hey, if he starts to seem rabid, you're going to put him down. Not good. All right. So, sure enough. Now, this is towards the end of the movie. You've already fallen in love with the dog and the family and the dog. Sure enough, kid goes out there. Oldest son, teenage boy, goes out there. Dog is all of a sudden snarling and snapping, and the dog has rabies. So the boy, who just loved the dog more than life itself, had his life saved by Old Yeller, has to walk out there with a gun and just... Now, granted, it was a single shot, but that's what it felt like. Now, I watched this movie for the first time when I was a child. You want to talk about gut-wrenching? It's a dog. What's better than a dog? Kid had to kill his own dog. It's freaking terrible. And they try to make it better. Oh, look, they get a new puppy, but a new puppy's not Yeller. It's horrible. Horrible. But here, you want to hear what's weird? I bet you I have seen Old Yeller 20 to 30 times in my life. We would rewatch movies all the time as a family. We didn't own very many movies. This is back when it was VHS tapes. Sorry not to date myself, but it was VHS tapes. And there was only 10 channels on television. There was no smartphone. You had what you had. So you rewatched movies a lot. Now, Old Yeller hits a little different the second or third time when you're watching the movie and you almost have this nagging feeling in the back of your head the whole time. Yeah, but he's going to turn bad and they're going to kill him. Yeah, but he's going to turn bad and they're going to kill him. You know it's coming. You know it's coming. You've seen the movie before. And yet, I still watched. Still love the movie. If you turned it on today, I'd probably watch it. It's a very good movie. Family movie, too. You can watch with the kids. I feel that way about the government-run grocery stores coming to New York City. People will chime in now, understandably, and they'll say, but they've tried this. Soviet Union tried this. There were empty shelves. It was a disaster. Even some people in America. Kansas City tried this. Total disaster. Empty shelves. This doesn't work. Total disaster. Government can't run it. It's going to be a disaster. Yes, it is. It's going to be a disaster. And the shelves will be empty. And there will be looting. Wouldn't it all be shocked? Somebody's going to get killed in one of these stores. You know it's going to be the scum of society, quote, shopping in these stores. You know it's going to be. The shelves will be empty. It'll be stabbings and lootings and disaster. And I already know it. I've seen Old Yeller. You already know it. You've seen Old Yeller. And I'm so excited. What, Chris? I can't define exactly why. Maybe it's just because I'm a bad person. What, Chris? What? That's probably it. That's probably this. Chris said it's because they're bad people and I want bad things to happen to bad people. I've always been that way. I do. I want to be there for the day where Mamdani has his press conference and blames someone else for the disaster that is a grocery store. You know it's coming. Oh, Chris, write all this down, by the way. You know it's coming. It's a guarantee. He's obviously, as we just discussed at the end of last hour, he's not going to own it. He's not going to step up and say, maybe this was a bad idea. Maybe I shouldn't have done this. He'll blame this, or he'll blame capitalism, or he'll blame Republicans or white men or whatever group he happens to think are political enemies. That's who he'll blame for it. But it will fail. It will fail really, really badly. And I can't wait to watch it. I've seen it over and over and over again. You've seen it over and over and over again. Yet, even though I've seen the movie, it's still a good movie. It's an entertaining movie. And I want to watch. I love it. Nancy Pelosi totally took out Eric Swalwell, by the way.
Some Republicans and others are saying that Democrats turned kind of a blind eye, that they knew what he was up to.
No, that's not true. That is absolutely positive. And it's true that they may say that, but it is absolutely not true.
You had no idea.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever. I had none whatsoever.
Nancy Pelosi had no idea about Eric Swalwell. You know, I didn't think much about this until this moment. I think Nancy Pelosi was involved. I don't know that. I don't have any information, but what's the thing you're always supposed to ask yourself when something big happens in politics or power circles, Game of Thrones type stuff? What's the thing you're always supposed to ask? I don't remember who put it out there, but it's true. It's a two-word sentence. What is it? Who benefits? That's always the question. Something happens, someone gets torpedoed in their political career, or whatever. Who benefits? Good point, Chris. The mafia, the mob. Some dude gets taken out, whatnot. Who did it? Was it them? Was it them? Well, who did it work out for in the end? California is in the middle of what's called a jungle primary. Because there were so many Democrats involved and so many Republicans involved, that Republicans, just the way it worked out numbers-wise, were the number one and two contenders in the California primary. Number one and two. Eric Swalwell was in the way. Now, all these, quote, secrets are out there, and Eric Swalwell is no longer in the way. Telling me Pelosi wasn't involved? Not sure if I buy that. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's do some of those emails. Jesse, Eric Swalwell was taken out because the governor's race was leaving two Republicans at the top. Someone needed to go. He was taking votes. He had to go. Says his name is Kevin. That's along the lines of exactly what I was just saying. I do not buy for a second that Eric Swalwell was taken out because of journalism or because of Republicans. And I actually don't believe it that Eric Swalwell was taken out because a bunch of these women are just now getting angry and coming forward. I'm not calling anyone a liar, not calling anybody honest. I don't have any idea about any of those things. What I do know is Democrats do not get taken out except by other Democrats. Only other Democrats are willing and able to remove Democrats from power. That means Eric Swalwell was in somebody's way. By the way, there's this billionaire running in California. Maybe you're not familiar with him. I am not that familiar with him. Tom Steyer is his name. He, again, billionaire with a B. So he's got some resources. Our mutual friend Daniel Turner, he always comes on here and talks to us about energy and oil prices and all the other things. He texted me today and he said, I know things about Tom Steyer. And I said, okay, would you care to enlighten us? Daniel Turner is coming on tomorrow, halfway through the show. He's coming on. And I don't know. I wanted to be surprised when you were surprised, so I didn't press him for any more information. We're going to find out together tomorrow, you and me. What's up with this Steyer guy? And I'm going to ask Daniel Turner, do you think he possibly had something to do with this? Saw a poll today. I've heard it's not a great poll, so don't take a lot of stock in this. But I saw a poll today that had him on top now that Swalwell's gone. Even if the poll is garbage, clearly it helped him. Who benefits, after all? What, Chris? Jesse, the single most important goal of the Trump administration should be deporting enough of our country's illegal occupying forces that we wonder where everyone went. Anything short of this is a betrayal that won't be forgotten. Trump must come out against this communist fever dream bill now. If they actually pass something like this, it'll be the last straw for the country. It'll be proof that voting really doesn't work, and that terrifies me. Please keep on hitting this so someone, anyone that has the president's ear can stop it before it's too late. Well, I was not going to have this little chat just yet, but I guess we might as well have this little chat. Here it is. Trump did an interview with the New York Times. Now, this is all recorded, so look, don't bother screaming at me, but it's the New York Times. This is all, you can go read it. Go read the whole thing. He did an interview with the New York Times. Here's this. Trump told the New York Times, this is a while ago, that he wants, quote, comprehensive immigration reform that possibly includes a path to citizenship. This is January, so calm down. Don't freak out yet. Calm down. Quote, if Democrats would do it, I'd do it. I'd love to have a comprehensive immigration policy, something that really worked. It's about time for the country to have it. Now, I want to again shout loudly because I do not want to make you angry about something that may not be real. Donald Trump, to this date, has not said a word about the Dignidad Act. not for it, not against it. He has endorsed Maria Salazar in that race, but Trump endorses garbage people all the time. That's not exactly breaking news. A Trump endorsement is like the most worthless thing in the world. We got that. All right. Donald Trump has not said that he is for this. He has not said that he is against this. Can't stress that enough. But I also want to remind you of this. During Trump's very first term, people forget it, but I remember it because you know how hot I am on this issue. During Trump's very first term, Trump said multiple times publicly that he wanted to do a deal with Democrats on immigration. It was the exact same kind of amnesty deal Republicans have always attempted to do with the America-hating communists. You know exactly how this goes. Hey, you're going to let me build a big wall and we'll keep people out. In turn, I'll give you a bunch of amnesty for people here while also signing on to let you bring in more people. That has been Donald Trump's immigration stance for a very, very, very long time. Fast forward to the campaign, the new presidential campaign, when he was running last year, 2 years ago now. When he was running 2 years ago, Donald Trump, not a moron, saw what the Biden administration had done, bringing in 20 million people, saw the polls and how angry people were about that, loudly campaigned on mass deportation, mass deportation, mass deportation. I could sit here for the next 3 hours. I will not, and said, and just play audio of Donald Trump saying, largest mass deportation ever. I'm going to do the largest mass deportation ever. I'm going to do the largest mass deportation ever. That's what he said. That's what he promised. He deserves credit. He has closed the border. He has reduced legal immigration as well. Again, credit. And to this date, there has been no Trump talk about comprehensive immigration reform or amnesty or signing on for this new bill is what I'm talking about. There's been no talk about that yet. But he hasn't shot it down. And there is one piece of audio maybe you haven't heard yet. I'll play you that audio in a moment. Before I play that audio, let me tell you. Well, let me brag. It's my thing anyway. I got my blood work back and my testosterone levels are through the roof. I'm 44 years old. I should not have testosterone levels through the roof. They should be fading and waning. I should be shriveling up and turning into Lindsey Graham, but I am not. I am not because I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day. Every single day. I wake up, I eat breakfast, I take my stack. Today I did that, then I went up and lifted weights just because I freaking felt like it, because I'm full of energy and I feel great all the time and I want you to feel like that. I want you to go to Chalk.com, C-H-O-Q, and I want you to get some natural herbal supplements, and you're about to feel great. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. We will get to some emails in a moment, but of course, Maria Salazar is out there on the news. This is not the part you haven't heard yet, but she's out there trying to sell the Dignidad Act because Republican leadership has not stopped it yet. They have not killed it. The longer this goes before they kill it, the more of this we have to hear.
This is the future of the Republican Party. Everyone knows that the coalition, the Hispanic, right. We're part of a coalition that put Trump into the White House. He says it himself, Brian. Mm-hmm. I won the 7 swing states and 4 of them, the Hispanics, put me over the top. And I won the popular vote. He's the guy. That's what I'm saying. Hey, Mr. President, you have to sign this bill.
Okay. You have to sign that bill. All right. Now, I'll play you a bit of audio. This is not from yesterday. And there are a couple different ways to take it. But, well, you know what, Chris? Go ahead and play it. This is Maria Salazar. She's sitting there talking to the camera. She's asked, you know, Trump signing the bill. Here's what she says.
Has the speaker agreed to advance this? Where is this going? Have you talked to President Trump about it?
Listen, the president is the one who will sign this bill. It will not be amnesty, it will be dignity. Trump is an intelligent, astute leader. He can break a deal at any time. He's a construction guy from New York. He knows that those hands are needed. He has right, golf
stop, 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 stop. Now, that was from last July. Trump is the one who will sign this bill. Now, I didn't take that as her saying, I talked to Donald Trump and he told me he's going to sign it. I didn't take that. I didn't take it that way. However, I also didn't not take it that way. And here's what I mean. You know Donald Trump by now. I know Donald Trump by now. Most famous person in the world. We got all that. Let's say Donald Trump, last July, we don't know where he is now, but let's say last July, Donald Trump was a no on this bill. How kindly do you think Donald Trump would have been to Maria Salazar saying, Donald Trump's the one who will sign this bill? If she was putting words into Donald Trump's mouth last July, you are well aware that Donald Trump is glued to social media. He's glued to the news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, especially when it comes to news about him and things he's done and things he said and things like that. Did you hear him say anything after that? Donald Trump, the Trump I know, if she was putting words in his mouth, the Donald Trump I know would have taken to social media and called her an idiot. He probably would have called her fat and everything else under this. You know I'm right. He would have blasted her 1,000 different ways. Said, no one ever talked to me about this. Who is this brain dead idiot? I never heard any of that. We'll see. Oh, by the way, yeah. Yesterday when I was talking about Desmond Doss, I said it was Heartbreak Ridge. It was Hacksaw Ridge. The movie is Hacksaw Ridge. I got an email about this. He was predicted in Hacksaw Ridge, not Heartbreak Ridge. Heartbreak Ridge was a great movie, too, by the way. It's about Vietnam. But Hacksaw Ridge, totally different than Heartbreak Ridge. 100% my fault. I'm an idiot. That's just how it goes sometimes. I misspoke. Jesse, this one says, Iran is regulating the flow of oil through the strait. It seems to the casual eye, that Iran had been planning to seize the Strait of Hormuz as a long-term objective. The only ingredient missing for endless terrorism would have been a nuclear bomb. We have seen how Iran is behaving during the ceasefire, and with a nuclear bomb, they would do it with impunity. What say you? Said his name is Diego. Well, here's what I would say. We obviously don't want... We don't want a couple different things. We don't want the Iranian people, we don't want any people to live in a tyranny. I don't want the people of North Korea to live under that hell where they live. I don't want anybody in Iran to live under a tyranny where women are beaten to death for showing some hair. That's awful. We also don't want Iran to prosper if they're going to use the prosperity to sponsor terrorism. Course. That's not what we want. We don't want Iran, because they're such an evil government, to have a nuclear weapon. I acknowledge that as well. We don't want those things. We don't want those things. I got that. My concern, and it's my concern now, and it's been my concern, and it will be my concern. It's why I want us to get some kind of deal if we can and come on home. My concern is we are handing communists power here in America by being there, because when we're there, the American people who are angry about inflation and costs and things like that, they don't feel like this administration, like Republicans are working for them. They feel like Republicans are working on the other side of the globe. Republicans are working for someone else. They don't feel cared for. And if they don't feel like Republicans are listening to them and caring for them, What, and Republicans are having adventures on the other side of the globe. I am worried the American people are going to hand power back over to the communists who will destroy us. Essentially, it comes down to this, if I have to make it as simple as humanly possible. I am more afraid of Democrats taking political power in the United States of America than I am of Iran having a nuclear weapon. Let it stand. I don't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon. I don't want the Ayatollah to continue abusing those people. I don't want any of that. I don't want terrorism. I don't want any of that. I am more concerned about communists running the CIA, FBI, DOJ again than I am about Iran having a nuclear weapon. That is my concern. I talked about it in the opening hour, what they did the last time they had power. And by the way, along those lines, well, one doesn't have anything to do with the other. McLaughlin poll released today shows 1 in 8 would-be GOP voters are going to stay home in the midterms in Maine, Georgia, and North Carolina. They go on to explain that same drop in 2024 loses Trump Georgia and North Carolina. If 1 in 8 stayed home in 2024, Donald Trump loses. Same drops in 2022 lose the GOP, the North Carolina Senate race. Our people, enough of them, not all of them, because maybe you're not part of this, enough of them are disheartened and disenfranchised, and they need motivation. Midterms are about motivation. Why does the party in power always lose seats in the midterms? Because the party out of power is more motivated. It's not that the party out of power is more trusted or better or anything like that. They're more motivated. And right now, the hardcore America First voter, the GOP voter, he has not seen a drop in his grocery prices. His gas prices have actually gone up. Inflation continues to tick up, although it has slowed down. Credit to Trump for that. And right now, 1 in 8 of these people, he may not be voting Democrat. He's probably not, but he's saying, I'm not even voting. I don't care. I'm staying home. We have to motivate these people to get out. And this is, again, back to the Dignidad Act as well. Kill this now, because every day Maria Salazar is out there running her fat mouth about it. She's killing our motivation for the midterms. Shut that woman up. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dear scrappy one-eyed pirate Jesse, after all the bombing and endless talk about working out a peace plan with the pawn scum Iran, I'm wondering what I'm missing. What good is hammering out a peace plan if one party doesn't intend to enforce it anyway? His name is Doug. Well, you can't, we don't know what any kind of a plan, if we get one, is going to look like. But let's also, let's admit that Trump is pretty good at these kinds of deals, and he's not an idiot. People think he's an idiot who hate him. That's a really dumb thing to think. When I say not an idiot, Trump is not going to sign on to a peace plan that takes Iran's word for it. So if we're going to crack down on something like nuclear enrichment and things like that, which that's a big part of their negotiation right now, do we allow them to enrich? Do we not allow all those things? If we're going to crack down on that, if that's got to be part of this peace plan, then they're going to have us inspecting things, or somebody inspecting things, as part of the peace plan. They're not dumb enough to sign on to a peace plan that's going to take Iran's word for it. That's one. Keep that in mind. Two, screw them, let's just kill them all, that kind of a thing. I'll read you a couple headlines here. NATO allies decline joining the U.S. blockade of the Strait of Hormuz. Here's another one. Xi, China's leader, Xi Jinping, Xi calls for closer ties with Spain in the face of global chaos. Why am I bringing up these two headlines? Well, in all war, including diplomatic negotiations, because war is just a different part of those, in all war, it can be easy to lose sight of the fact that the enemy is thinking and strategically planning too. You are not fighting mindless robots. You are not fighting morons all the time, although sometimes you are. Lord willing, you are. You are fighting somebody who is also thinking about ways he can defeat you, right? I bring that up to bring this up. Can we continue to hammer Iran to the point where they go into complete economic collapse? Well, I believe we can. If they have other financial means, I've not heard of it, but I believe we can. Our Navy's so good, we can probably do that. Can we get that done before the world gets sick enough about this whole thing and we start getting a realignment against us? I hate NATO the way you hate NATO. I'm game to pull out tomorrow. If NATO and China end up closer after this, is that better for us? If Russia, Iran, China, if they all decide something, maybe something along these lines. Now, this is not something that would happen overnight, so keep that in mind. But what if they decide something along these lines? Hey, this U.S. Navy, pretty capable. Really sucks they just chose to blockade the Strait of Hormuz. Why don't we start building pipelines and roads and systems now so the next time they decide to blockade the Strait of Hormuz, we can just continue to trade goods and services over land where they cannot blockade? Not saying that's going to happen, but if you think they're not considering that, you're crazy. You see, we are not existing in a vacuum that is the United States of America and Iran. And Trump knows all this. There are other things at play here that we have to consider. We have to consider other things. I've brought this up before when you bring up things like, well, let's just start bombing all of Iran to smithereens. The Trump administration has to consider videotape of us incinerating 100,000 innocent civilians. You can't just start dropping bombs on Iranian cities in a war the world doesn't like anyway. Remember, we don't have any friends here besides Israel. Nobody wants us there. Nobody. And the only people who are even helping out a little bit are basically people Trump had to strong arm or shame into helping us. Even Italy, who's been on our side, said, nah, we're not involved, not helping out at all. Trump even came out and yapped at Italy's prime minister today, this Milani chick, because she wouldn't get involved in it at all. We don't have a lot of friends in this whole endeavor, and that means it has to be carefully done. Carefully and quickly. But that's wrong. All the buts you are about to tell me, they're all true. I'm not denying them. But Iran's evil. Yep. But they can't have a nuke. Yep. But they've sponsored terrorism. Yep. But 47 years. Yep. Again, not arguing. This does not exist. Nothing exists foreign relations wise in a vacuum where it's just us and just them. And we'll just figure it out and we'll beat you and we'll starve you to death before you can drive up enough oil. That's not how it works. There are other things that have to be considered. I want you to consider getting a burner launcher for yourself so you don't die. Did you watch that horrible video? I hope you didn't. Of that mother of two getting hammered to death outside of a Florida gas station by a Haitian animal. Just an animal. Subhuman. Should have been put down years ago, but instead Democrats let him in the country. They're all over the place. Remember when 14,000 Haitians showed up at the border and the Biden administration brought them all into the country? What do you carry on you in case you run into a Haitian animal outside of the gas station tonight? Your daughter's going to run down and get a Mountain Dew tonight. She's up studying. What's she carrying on her? Please tell me she's carrying a Byrna. Byrna's legal everywhere, but she's in California. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. It's a compact launcher, shoots tear gas balls or pepper balls, kinetic rounds. It's good enough for SWAT teams. It's good enough for your mom, your dad, by your bedside, in your purse, holster on your waist. Keep yourself alive. B-Y-R-N-A, Byrna.com. All right? Byrna.com. Speaking of foreigners, let's check in with Ilhan Omar. This is Joni Ernst.
One of our spending bills making its way through Congress was a $1 million earmark from Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, which was an earmark that was supposedly going to a substance abuse clinic, which actually happened to be housed in a restaurant and run by three individuals that share the same residential address, according to their IRS paperwork. Tons of red flags. So this is what we saw with the fraud involving the daycare centers. Now we see other earmarks coming directly from members of Congress where it seems fraud is being perpetrated as well.
Man, you know what we need? We need some more people from Somalia in this country. It's worked out really, really great so far. We'll talk about that next.